Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years.
Many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I think you had a wonderful weekend. I think you did. Yeah, I'm pretty sure you had a wonderful weekend.
Yeah, I'm already laughing.
But not everybody had a wonderful weekend.
No, that is true.
Some of you may have noticed that most of Eastern Washington is on fire.
Yes, it's burning really badly.
Yeah, we may joke a lot about that area, but this is a serious situation.
Yes, it's really, it's devastating over there, and it's, you know, it impacts everyone for like three states around here.
Yeah, the smoke's actually made it over the mountains and making breathing rather difficult.
Yes, especially for those of us who have issues anyways.
Yeah. So, but the Tri-City Freethinkers are asking that anyone physically fit with some experience in disasters contact them. They're looking for volunteers to help fight these fires because they're as of this morning, they were only like 10% contained.
There's one fire, I believe, on the res that's only like, or no, maybe it wasn't the res, but there was one fire that's like only 2% contained. And I know that all the fires over there, they are hurting for help. They are so shorthanded.
They've got these guys running marathon shifts.
Yes.
They're not letting them go home to sleep. They're having to sleep at the camp. I mean, it's getting bad out there.
Yeah. It's everything is just burning. It is so dry and there's no humidity in the air. And it's just, you know, the winds we had last time really made this go higher. And it's really, I honestly think they're not going to be able to combat any of this 100% till the rains start, which that's not looking so good this year either.
No, I remember back, living in Montana, that's how they had to put the fires out.
They waited for the winter.
They waited for winter and the snow. And that looks like what they're going to have to do this year.
Well, and you know, with the temperatures getting so much hotter and drier, you know, I was discussing this the other day that, you know, they're going to have to start getting used to, you know, just letting the winter's rains and snows put it out. But the problem is in Montana, you've got just miles and miles of mountain with forest, whereas in the central Washington, there's lots of homes. You can't just let it go. Yeah,
there's
that's
homes
the
and
problem.
Farms and There's all sorts of stuff there. I mean, people are losing their livelihood, their homes.
That's why it's more devastating because you can't just let it go like you can in a lot of Montana.
Right. If you're able and willing to help, send an email to jennifer@tricityfreethinkers.org to be put in touch with a volunteer that can tell you what to do.
Yes.
However, if you are unable, like some of us, you can donate $10 by texting Red Cross to 90999.
Yeah.
So that's the Red Cross. They're suggesting that any monetary donations go through the Red Cross right now.
Oh, okay.
That way they all come from the same place.
Right, right.
It makes tracking it a lot easier.
Yeah.
And for more information on how to donate or to volunteer with the Red Cross themselves, visit www.redcross.org/support.
And they could use all the help in any way they can get.
Right.
Yeah.
And those links will be on our website. The link to the Tri-City Freethinkers post about this will be on our website, too.
Okay.
And on the show notes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But since we're changing things up a bit.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we're going to try and stay as positive as possible this week.
Positive show for a change.
Yeah. First one is land purchase saves Veterans Memorial Cross in San Diego. Now, this is about the Mount Soledad Cross, which has been in litigation for years.
Right. It's like 27 feet tall.
Yeah, and it sits on government.
You can't miss it.
It sits on government property.
Right.
So many groups have been asking that it be removed since it is
government property.
Right. Right. Well, the good news is it was sold recently to the group that maintains it. So now it sits on
private. They were able to buy it.
They were able to buy it. Now, I don't know how much they bought it for. I'm sure much less than market value.
Yeah.
But I think it's good that it got sold to them. That way it's no longer on government property.
Well, yeah, I agree completely. I mean, the fact that it was so big and in your face, and regardless of that, the fact it was on government property, I think was the issue. But now it's private property, and they have every right to do that. And, you know, it's no longer, you know, I want to say government endorsed, you know, when it's on government property.
Right. And, you know, it's been there since 1954. I mean, it's been there a very long time. It is historical. I don't want to see historical things go away, but I don't want them being on government property.
Right. I agree completely. You
know, either move them or sell the property.
They sure made big steps in the 50s, didn't they? There's so much that went on in the 50s.
Oh, that was crazy in the 50s. Absolutely crazy. Yeah. So good on them. Hopefully they can keep it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just happy to see it's privatized and no longer, you know, on government property. Because, I'm sorry, my number one thing, separation church and state.
Right.
End of story.
Yeah. And they will no longer get lawsuits, so the city won't lose any money anymore.
It's probably easier on them anyways.
So I think it's a better situation all the way around.
Yeah.
In other news, Warner Brother heads to the cosmos with the Carl Sagan biopic movie.
Yeah, I'm actually ready for. I can't wait to see this.
Warner Brothers is developed. Oh God!
You just are tongue twisted yet again this week.
No coffee.
Oh yeah, that's your fault.
Yeah, Warner Brothers is developing a biopic about astronomer Carl Sagan with his widow Ann Durian among the producers. No plot details have been revealed, though Zach Dean of Deadfall has been announced as the film's screenwriter.
I think that's going to be really cool.
Well, this is keeping in line and with the idea of changes. And I think there's changes coming through film and TV about being more scientific.
Yes.
Right? Because Cosmos was a huge hit both times it came out. They're going to be remaking another Cosmos probably coming out next year.
Oh, really?
But if you look back, like last year, the Stephen Hawking movie.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
That was huge. Everybody was like, oh, this is an amazing movie.
Yeah. I was thinking of that when I read this.
I mean, and we have more science actually coming into our movies. I mean, look at Interstellar.
Well, and not only that, which I read the review on Interstellar from two scientists that had, you know, talked about it. And they talked about the things they got right and the things that they got wrong. But they were actually very happy to see they had quite a few things they did have right. And then, you know, the few things that they had wrong, it's just you kind of have to go there for movies kind of scenario. Yeah,
and there's certain things we just don't
know. But they are getting much more accurate when they're making these movies. They're taking more, you know, thought into, okay, let's make this as real as we can possibly get it kind of thing, which is really good. Because it's like giving education to people without them even realize they're getting it, you know?
Yeah.
And even TV shows are getting more open-minded between free-thinking, science, you know, secularism, you name it. I've seen a lot more lately.
Yeah. Sagan, for those of you who don't know, and I'm sorry if you don't know who Carl Sagan is.
Yeah.
was a best-selling and Pulitzer Prize-winning author, and in addition to his scientific work, also known as a co-creator and host of 1980 public TV series Cosmos.
Good show.
Yeah. He was a great writer, a great skeptic, amazing humanist.
Yes.
Just all around great guy. Probably one of my heroes, if I had heroes.
I was going to say, I don't think you really have heroes.
But yeah, he was kind of instrumental to me in my love of what love I do have of science.
Yeah.
Because he made it very accessible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And that was his thing.
He was so passionate. That was my thing.
Yes.
He was like so passionate.
Yeah, everything he did was just, it was just amazing. He was a great writer.
He always seemed like he was always in awe. Yeah. No matter how long he had been doing things, he was always in awe.
And that's a lot of what he talked about is you know, this is the universe. Enjoy it.
Yeah,
it was great.
They also are going to be doing an updated series, right?
Yeah, I said that.
Oh, I missed that.
You don't listen to the show even when you're doing the show. Wow.
I just totally zoned out, I guess.
Yeah, that's normal. You just don't listen to me at all.
Well, it's because I think like four different things at one time and I'm like not really paying attention to you.
Wonderful. That makes me feel good. Thanks.
I love you. Moving on.
Okay. Victoria, Australia. We're moving down under. Finally scraps religious indoctrination classes from the state school curriculums.
I think that's a good thing. Go ahead.
Okay. Australian public schools have been offering special religious instruction. The intention was to expose children to different religions.
Well, that's where I was going to go. That's why I let you finish, because I was thinking they had the right idea trying to give multiple religions so you learn more knowledge of all different things. But they kind of, I was going to say something that I shouldn't say on air, but they kind of messed this one up.
Yeah. In most cases, it was exclusively Christian.
Exactly.
In one case, they used a worksheet to find hidden letters and spell out the name Jesus.
Oh, that's a fun worksheet.
Yeah. I saw the worksheet. It's pretty easy. I think a three-year-old could probably find the letters. It's like giant J next to a car and then the E. You know, it's like, what the? You know, that's way worse than Finding Waldo. According to the Fairness and Religion Schools, whose mission it is to provide an inclusive school curriculum in the SRI instruction and to stop evangelizing during class, many programs not only ignored the non-Christian religions, but actively evangelized to the kids.
Well, and that's what I was saying. Like, they started off with the right idea, but unfortunately, like always, it was taken completely in the wrong direction, which, if you'll notice, happens more often than not. Right. You know, they always take it to the, let me see if I can really preach to you in school by getting around this little title we're going to use.
Yeah, I'm sure what happened is over the years, it got a little more Christian and a little more Christian, and they kept pushing the boundaries, and finally they just stopped teaching the other religions altogether.
Yeah, that's very more than likely.
So, in a quote, it says, Victorian schools will scrap special religious instructions from class time with changes to the state curriculum, throwing the future of the controversial program in doubt. The Andrews government has ordered that the weekly 30-minute program move to lunchtime and before and after school in 2016 to make way for new content on world history, culture, faith, and ethics.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
So now it's an elective.
Which it should be.
It should be. You shouldn't be required to take religious classes.
No. I mean, even if you're going to do what they intended and include all religions, you still should not be forced to have to do that. Because, I mean, if you don't want to know everyone else's religion, you shouldn't have to. Because you don't see them learning anything about atheism or humanism or anything else. So why do we have to be forced in the other direction? I actually see that a lot around here, by the way.
Yeah, learning about atheism, humanism, they consider that science class.
Seriously. Jeez.
Okay. And in another wonderful change, federal prisons agree to recognize humanism as a religion.
Interesting.
Yeah. Federal prisoners who identify as humanists can now celebrate Darwin Day and get accommodations typically offered to those inmates who believe in a deity.
I think that's good. I do.
Yeah. So the Federal Bureau of Prisons agreed in the settlement of a lawsuit to add a section on humanism in the manual on inmate beliefs and practices. Officially in the prison system, we'll also consider requests for humanist inmates to access study materials, observance of holy days, and time and space for religious activities.
I wonder how many, prison officials that have to make accommodations like this are just whining about this.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Yeah, especially the holy roller ones, you know. They're like, we have to make all these exceptions for them, blah, blah. Because, you know, you hear that all the time.
Well, they have to make the same exceptions for Jewish and Muslim prisoners.
Right, and they probably hate that just as much.
Yeah, well, now they have to.
Right.
So, it's unknown how many inmates actually identify as humanist. I saw a thing a couple years ago where 0.02% of the population identifies as atheist.
Well, I was going to say
they've
also got statistics that prove that there's not a lot of atheists in prisons, period. They're more, statistically speaking, they're pretty much the majority is all Christian.
Right. We are a majority Christian nation. So it makes
sense. Well, of course. So the numbers percentage-wise, right.
But you got to think, when you look at numbers like that, is it an actual number? Are they just afraid to say they're an atheist? I mean,
that's actually probably more of the case. I mean, think about it. They're locked in.
Right.
And it's like some people can't come out at their jobs and stuff, and they're free to come and go. They can even leave their job if they really want to, although some people just aren't in a situation financially that they could. But here, you're physically locked in. So the odds that people aren't coming out are, I would imagine, high.
Yeah, because I would imagine there's probably a lot of pressure.
Oh, I don't doubt that at all.
So, I mean, I've never been there. Don't plan on going there. So.
No, you're too squeaky clean.
Yeah, that's what you think.
Oh, please. I know you way too well for that.
But yeah, that's great news. Now they'll be able to celebrate. And they'll be able to have study groups, which means humanists can get together in prison. So that's a big plus.
Yeah, they can, you know, rely on each other.
Right. So that's really good news. Glad that happened.
Yeah, I am too.
And this week, in keeping with the idea of changes, we don't have a Potter Award.
I know. It's the first time ever. It's kind of weird.
I know. We have something different.
Yes.
So, some of you may recall a few episodes ago, we talked about Jeff Stilwell and his lightning march for humanity.
All the way to, from what, here?
From Stevens Pass to Old Faithful.
Right. 750-mile walk.
Well, the good news is he completed it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he completed it about 2 weeks ago. And we had a nice long conversation with him.
Yes.
And that conversation is going to be posted in its entirety later on this week.
Yeah, you have to.
But I wanted to highlight a specific part of that conversation. He's on a new project called Peace Cities USA.
Yes.
It's a thing he came up with during his march.
Because they have plenty of time to think.
Yeah, plenty of time to think. Mm-hmm. So I thought we would just play that part of the interview, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
Excellent.
Well, I noticed that you released a new initiative today, the Peace City. Would you like to talk about that?
Certainly. What I realized was by the end of the hike, I realized that people were looking at me as a peace activist. And so when we began the hike, the march, where there was all this suspense around whether I could actually do this. And after 35 days of this, we began to realize, oh, I'm going to do it all right. So now what? You know, I'm going to make it. I'm not going to get attacked by a bear. I'm not going to get eaten by a mountain lion or something. Or some whack job is not going to, clip me with his car or his pickup in Montana. Montana is was the friendliest part of the march. I mean, there's this stretch of road from Willow Creek to Three Forks. It was 6 miles, and four people stopped and offered to give me a lift.
Well,
and
nice
there was this woman who I knew that the offer to give me a lift was meant more than just the lift. There was something else, too, which was, after all those days on the road by myself, it was Jeff, you are married. Do not start thinking like this. Yeah, it was just the friendliest part. But there was also, there was a couple of times where guys, and these were elderly men in pickups, they pointed their pickups at me.
Oh, interesting.
Which was very scary.
Yeah.
In Eastern Washington, that was the least friendly place, and maybe embarrassed release for Eastern Washington, if the people just would not help at all. So,
yeah,
we kept talking about this contrast. And yet, at the end, we realized I'd made it through all of these adventures, the last 5 days, we're talking, you're going to make it. What next? What's going to happen next? And I kept talking about this transformation. I feel that, I never expected people to look at me as a peace activist. I certainly did not start this with that thought in mind, but it's happening now. And should I continue? Because so many people told me that they thought I should. And we started asking ourselves, what would that look like? And we weren't really quite sure. We didn't get much further than, we spent the last 15 years of our lives doing a lot of community organizing activism in Edmonds, this small town right north of Seattle, where our business is, and particularly in New York. And one of the challenges of working there is the instigator attitudes of the people there. They're really nice people, but that's just the way it is. I've been doing it for 15 years. You have to deal with that. So if I was going to do something like world peace, we couldn't do it in a small town like that. We would have to go through a town or city that looked outward, not inward. And that state could have it. We live in Seattle. Although we have not been that involved in it, we treated it sort of like a reverse bedroom commute kind of thing.
Right.
And so we started asking ourselves, maybe we should get involved in Seattle politics or something, or the Seattle scene of some sort. And Monty began it. She started looking up, it's the campaign season now, the city council races are on. And she looked up different candidates that she liked. And so she went out and saw them at debates and things like that, and then wound up volunteering for their campaigns. And she was telling me all about this. And so, I got very interested myself. And then when I came back, as I said, that final weekend before the primary, I was out there for the Shama Sawant campaign and principally for the Lorena Gonzalez campaign. These two women of color, there I was, campaigning hard, doorbelling a lot for them, phone banking, that kind of thing for them. And both did very well in the primaries, which is nice.
Right.
And whether that means I've earned the chance to ask them, can I ask for your help on this peace thing that I'm working on? That remains to be seen. But that also worked our way. That also directed our thoughts, and I began doing research about, what has been done. And I came across UNESCO's concept of the culture of peace. And UNESCO is the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, whose mandate is to encourage the development of world peace. they developed this concept of that they call the cultural peace that any community can develop across the globe if they so choose. And there are 8 action areas that they define. And it's, typical stuff that you would expect, like, use education, foster economic development. Also, interestingly, maintain equality between women and men, which is, it's a tough nut to crack. Foster a situation where dialogue presides rather than conflict. I'm not sure of the history, but if I understand this correctly, they had a lot of energy around this around 2000, and that's where it began. And 1% of all humanity signed a petition saying, we like this, let's build this for humanity. And then it just sort of just runs out of steam in the early 2000s. And I think, I'm guessing now that the W administration's war on Iraq sort of like just took all the steam out of the sails.
Yeah.
All the window of anything.
Yeah, that certainly sounds like it would have.
Mm-hmm. So I got very interested in this. And the second thing was this organization, it's a network, really, of cities, activists across the globe, and it's based in Dayton, Ohio. They call themselves International Cities of Peace. And these activists have gotten their hometowns to declare themselves as such. And it could be something as simple on one end of the spectrum as the city council and the mayor issuing a resolution saying that we are a city of International City of Peace. On the other end of the spectrum, they could go further. They could develop all kinds of programs, whatever the activist wants, that fosters that sort of environment. And they, too, reference that UNESCO's concept of the culture of peace. So I've taken that in the last, I've been home for 2 weeks now, I've been thinking about this. I've taken that, and first we created an org that could do this. That first will work with Seattle and these political leaders in Seattle to have Seattle declare itself a city of peace. And then secondly, working with elementary schools, youth education to talk about what this looks like, a culture of peace. And because I'm an illustrator and a playwright, I'm working on a series of comics that explain those 8 characteristics, or 8 action areas, as they call them.
Right.
Do comics, for elementary kids. And then, two, writing a short play that can do in elementary schools that explore the same concept.
Well, that certainly sounds really exciting. I'm assuming you're going to use Thrash and Jack as part of the comics?
Absolutely, using Thrash and Jack. And as part of that, I'm also working, we're putting together some sort of package that other activists can use, throughout the Pacific Northwest, say Spokane, Everett, Bellingham, and Tacoma, all the principal cities, or even smaller towns, too, that they can use this as royalty-free. And just based on my experiences of making this happen in Seattle, working with the city council first, and then the elementary schools, and also to the arts scene and the surrounding merchants, because I know as an activist, the 15 years I've been an activist in communities, if I don't have the merchants involved, it doesn't really have any legs. It doesn't go anywhere. It just sort of stops.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't.
All of those together, putting that package together and offering them a template saying, just go ahead and use this. This is a good thing. You can do this if you want. So I'm looking forward to that. That's sort of where I'm going right now. Yeah. I'm also working on a new work called A World Without War, which is an illustrated work. And it's a little more intellectual, not too much. It's because the Thrash and Jack is in there too. And what it's based on is inspired by all the conversations, the hundreds of conversations I had with these people that I met on the Lightning March or the Peace March. And the question is, if that's well, what about this? What about that? I mean, aren't you being just a little too idealistic? Aren't you being just, this sounds sort of a utopian kind of thing. And it sounds like a perfect world, but I don't think that, and I had to ask myself, what am I saying? What am I thinking? And so I formulated these thoughts, and then that's what I wrote down. The text is finished, and right now I'm working on the comics. So I figure another 2 months, it'll be done.
That sounds really cool. I'm going to look forward to seeing that.
Well, fantastic. Maybe we could do a follow-up interview on it or something.
Sure. When you release it, let's talk again. That'd be great.
Yeah, I think 60 days, Robert. I know my speed at creating illustrations. I think something like that should work.
Well, that sounds great. So if they want to look a little further into your project, where would we send them? because we did follow that pretty close.
There's even a tab on that website, peacecitiesusa.org. It's called Jeff's Peace March for anybody who is interested in what happened. There's a couple of videos, a photo or two, a radio interview I did and something like that. And then there's a link at the bottom that if they want to follow the entire march as it occurred in history, you know, on the chronology of it.
Right.
It's all there too.
So, yeah, that was good fun talking with Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. That was long interview that, you know, like you said, you're going to go ahead and post the full thing so, you know, it can be heard in entirety.
Yeah, it was about 50 minutes long.
Yeah, I think something like that.
A little longer than the entire show.
Yeah, right. So
couldn't fit the whole thing in, but I definitely wanted to get that part in there for the regular show.
Yeah, yeah. It sounds like it's a really good thing he's working on.
Yeah, the website's kind of cool. It's got a nice look to it. It's got a couple tabs. Jeff's new book, A World Without War, looks very promising.
Yeah, I was looking at that.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of cool. I can't wait till it comes out so I can have a really good look at it. He said it's going to be a little more intellectual.
Oh, uh-huh.
Thrash and Jack, the books he did before, was more aimed, looked more like a teenager type stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but this looks like it's going to be a little better. Not necessarily better, but different.
Well, I was going to say, it's geared to a different audience.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
It's to get everyone involved. You don't have to just do adults. You can do the young. And besides, if you think about it, looking at our kids are all teenagers. The teenagers are growing up to be the real activists, you know, right. After, you know, and when they're interested young, they become, you know, it seems college age kids are the ones that are the most active majority of the time. Right. So, I mean, I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Kudos to Jeff for not only surviving the march, but for coming up with an amazing idea during the march.
Yes. I think it's fantastic on both ends. I mean, it's a really good thing to shoot for and to... I mean, that's the best thing about slowing down time. I was talking about that the other day. You know, when you're doing something like walking and it's quiet and there's not a lot around overstimulating you,
right.
It really, it almost feels like it slows down time and your brain starts kicking in a little better. I mean, they've even said, because that's my biggest pet peeve, is about how too much screen time is killing people's imagination and coming up with things, and it's really killing it for kids.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I am a firm believer in that, you know, the downtime, the take away everything and be in the quiet, it really starts to get your brain turning again, you know?
I know. I could probably use a little downtime.
That's the understatement of the millennium. But no, I mean, you know, your serious screen time, your kids are way too much screen time. And yes, your brain works and you're doing all kinds of things with the screen time. You're not just sitting here watching videos, you're doing work and stuff. But to physically get away from everything technology wise and stuff, it makes your brain work in an entirely different way.
Yeah, I know. And we'll have to do some.
That would be awesome.
I don't see that anytime in the near future.
Oh, come on. We at least got to start working up for it.
I know.
At least that would be great because I'm all about the outdoors. He's all about the indoors.
I like the outdoors.
No, my.
I like it where it is. Outdoors.
I was going to say, you like to look at it out the window, maybe if you look away from your screen.
I can. I would, but it's directly behind me.
You see, you're all the screen, the technology. Me, I'm all dragging you guys outside as much as I possibly can.
And on that note, I think we're done.
I think so, because this could go forever. So that's all the yakking we have for you today. Please join us again next week as we resume the assault on your eardrums. If you can't seem to get enough of us, check us out on Twitter or our Facebook page. You can also leave us a message at 704-802-YAK.
That's 704-802-9255. If you like what you hear, drop by our Patreon page and help support the show. Then head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and leave us that oh-so-coveted 5-star review.
Secular Yakking is sponsored by the Humanists of North Puget Sound.
The views expressed are those of the host and not those of HMPS or its board.
All audio for this episode was used under the Creative Commons license.
And remember, the government of the United States of America is not in any sense founded on the Christian religion.